Did you know there are over 3,000 questions asked in the Bible? Let's answer just one of them today on Book, Chapter, and Verse.
Words, those wonderful words, those wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.
Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse. I'm Jeff Archie. Thank you for taking time today to study with me the Word of God as we simply look at the map of life and the light to follow, God's Holy Word. Let us examine Book, Chapter, and Verse on matters that pertain to our lives. You are more than welcome to join me each week right here. And at the end of our broadcast, we'll spend a little time talking with you about Bible study material you can receive absolutely free to help you in your daily study of God's Word. So please stay tuned, and we'll talk about that more in a little bit. From our Book, Chapter, and Verse today, I'd like for you and I to consider a question from Jesus in Mark, the 8th chapter, in verse 37. Jesus simply asked, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I'd like for you and I to spend some time here in Mark 8. So reach for your Bibles, and I'll give you a moment or two there, and look along with me as we think about this question within this chapter. Let's answer the question with the following possibilities. Let's just simply take this verse and look at it rather carefully, and let us think on some of these matters. When we think about what shall a man give in exchange for his soul, that's a price that's big to pay. And sometimes the price that we're willing to pay is the wrong price. Let's just ask with this, and we're going to stay in this chapter back and forth. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, you know, he may give attention to the physical wants of this world. He will give and exchange his soul for whatever he can achieve physically. In this chapter, the people and the disciples, they witness the feeding of the 4,000 in verses 1 through 9. But this was not the end all. Because in verse 20, we do note that they would become hungry again. I mean, they took up full of fragments. They took up 7 baskets full of fragments among those 4,000. So we understand the physical need has to be replenished. These people understood the difference between a need and a want. And while Jesus fed the 4,000 and they took up fragments left, there's no doubt they were going to be hungry again. Now, from the very outset in this question, filling physical wants will not save a soul. Satisfying ourselves physically will not save a soul. Listen to Psalm 49, verses 6 through 8. Look at this. "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever." In 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct or from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." In other words, all the physical things will not save us. It takes the blood of Christ to redeem us. We cannot purchase, we cannot spend all the money in the world to redeem our soul. And yet a man will go and attain the physical things in exchange for his soul. Let's think about this. There's an old saying that he who dies with the most toys wins. I submit to you, he that dies with the most toys still dies, doesn't gain. When man fails to deny himself and in turn pursues all the pleasures imaginable, he gains, yet he loses. For example, staying here in Mark 8, 34 through 36. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Some parallel passages in Matthew 10:38, Jesus reminds us that he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Listen to Luke's account in Luke 9:23, when Jesus said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There's an interesting fact that people wanted to come after Jesus. But were they ready to go with him? We take up the cross when we will see it as man's only hope of redemption. In John 12:32, Jesus said, And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. We'll take up that cross when we see it as man's only hope of redemption. We take up the cross when we crucify the old man through obedience unto him, according to Romans 6 and verse 6. When we're baptized into Christ, the old man of sin is crucified with him, the body of sin might be destroyed. I love to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and to be reminded that we take up the cross when we proclaim the message of the cross, which is the gospel of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 and going into chapter 2, of the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross that saves a man, that's not foolish to that man. The world may think it's foolish. The world is looking for something greater, but there is nothing greater. And we will pursue every kind of thought and try to gain everything as far as a Christian goes. And we'll try to accumulate everything physical. As Christians, it'll pull us away. And if we're not walking close to God, we're trying to rely upon the physical things to satisfy us. So many times I see people and talk to people that say, well, when I get a few things straightened out, then I'll come and live for Christ. Well, why not live for Christ and let us in turn, as we live for Christ, let Him help us work those things out. You know, I saw this little clip one time, and going back to the 1930s, but it was a phrase that says, If one is so anxious to avoid all the cost of following Jesus that he gives all his energies to caring for temporal things, he will lose eternal life after death. That's so true. And that's tragic. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, he'll give the physical attainments. But my friends, we can accumulate everything in the world and still lose it all. Let me try this little test before I go to number two and see how this works. I've used this illustration many times. Let's just say that I can talk to you and I, and let's say that I am a benefactor and I can do this. I can't, I promise you, but for the illustration. Let's just say you and I are talking and you give me a list of all the debt that you owe right now. House note, car note, medical, whatever you might have. And I'll just sit down and I'll reach in my pocket and I'll sit down and just simply take and just write out your check and hand it to you to pay all your bills. It's pretty cool, huh? Okay. So now I've got you out of debt, right? Okay. Let's just say that I'll take that same amount that paid you out of debt and I'll turn around and I'll write another check for that same amount and I'll hand it to you. Pretty good, huh? Now, let's just say that I will take your last year's salary, and I'm going to write you a check for last year's salary and give that to you right now. And let's just say, because you're watching book, chapter, and verse, I'll write you a check for $25,000 and I'll hand that to you. Now, let me stop. I don't have that advantage. This is an illustration, so please don't write me for that. But here's my point. Let's say that if I were a benefactor and I could do all of that, which I cannot, but let's just say that if I could, do you know it still would not save your soul? It wouldn't save you. You would be set physically, temporarily, but it would not save your soul. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? The physical attainments of this world. Please don't substitute that. You'll come out losing. We know that. Now let's look at number two. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, he may give acknowledgement to the real religious curiosities of this world. He may give acknowledgement to these religious curiosities. And when you go back to Mark 8, this chapter was full of them. For example, when I drop down to verses 10 through 13, here are the Pharisees coming forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit, and he said to them, "Why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation." And in verses 14 and 15, Jesus warned his disciples of the false teachings of the religious leaders, those Pharisees in his day, and the political leaders of this day, such as Herod, in verses 14 and 15. And somebody says, "Whoa, now wait a minute, preacher, you're getting involved in politics there." I'm just going to read to you what the Bible said. He charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." My friends, I'm not being political, I'm being biblical. Jesus warned them in his day of the leaven, or things that would be served up that would pull people away from Christ, whether it is of the religious nature of the Pharisees or the political nature of a Herod. And that's not political. That's biblical. It's interesting to see that during all this, that even the apostles were reasoning among themselves. Verse 16, "And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It is because we have no bread.'" They were reasoning about this. So you take a look. There were questions, curiosities, all through this chapter. You know, we find ourselves reasoning over matters like his disciples, and yet Jesus will turn and ask us, as in verse 21, "How is it that you do not understand?" Let's talk about this word reasoning for a moment. It's a word that means we bring together different reasons and we reckon them up. To reason, as used in the New Testament, it's chiefly of thoughts and considerations which are more or less objectionable. We'll spend time reasoning and studying and talking about all different things. And we see in this section of the chapter all the different reasonings. And a lot of times the acknowledgement of the religious curiosities of this world, or we start pursuing things that really don't matter. Even with Peter, the apostle of Christ, we find ourselves failing to accept the words of Christ. Now here's Peter, a chosen apostle walking with Christ, and now he's going to have a problem accepting the words of Christ. See, religious curiosities of this world will pull us away from the Bible. We look for this answer, this ism, that ism. And what will we give in exchange for our soul? By acknowledging these religious curiosities. Back to Peter. Don't want to miss this. Verses 31 through 33 of Mark 8. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Yes, the Christ. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. He called one of his own apostles Satan because Peter was rebuking him. But Jesus said, These things are of God and not of men. And we find ourselves failing to accept the words of Christ. We'll desire the things of men that, to be honest, are well furnished by Satan, the religious curiosities, and there's a multiplicity of them. I heard it recently said by a young preacher friend of mine that Jesus has one doctrine. Satan has many doctrines, and oh, how he can deceive. I mean, 2 Corinthians 2:11 reminds us how that he transforms himself as an angel of light. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible reminds us how he is the God of this world, little g, and how he will blind the minds of them that believe not. May I back up for a moment and state that when I mention how Satan is as an angel of light, and I mention 2 Corinthians 2:11, to be more accurate, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He uses multiple devices. Folks, if we're studying together and I come across something that doesn't click right, I'll try to find it. If I don't correct it here, I'll correct it on another broadcast. Let's wrap this up. We must always be alert and careful in detecting and guarding against false doctrines. Not everyone in the realm of religion is right. I mean, you know that. We all know that. Just because it may say church over the door, it may not be in accordance with the Bible. I mean, even in the first century, in 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. Why? Many false prophets have gone out into the world. When I turn back to Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. In Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 32, Paul gave warning of what would happen, that there would be those that would depart and leave the simple truth. John in 2 John 9:11 warned us that if any bring not the doctrine of Christ, receive him not into your house, don't even bid him Godspeed or bless you or go on your way, for if you do that, you bid him Godspeed, you're partaker of his evil deeds. We need to make certain that we take the Bible and detect that false doctrine. Please, my friends, don't let anybody tell you, well, it really doesn't matter what you believe. It does matter what we believe. And don't allow the acknowledgement of those religious curiosities. Don't allow them to be in exchange for your soul. As our broadcast comes to a close shortly, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, he may give away the opportunity to embrace the saving words of Christ. Back to Mark chapter 8, our chapter today, our book chapter and verse. Let's look at the verse 38 and let's see what happened. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 38, we find an individual when Jesus said, Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now keep in mind, Jesus is speaking to the multitude as well as his disciples, which would serve as an inference to the saved and the not saved when we keep in mind the word ashamed. Those that follow me, if you wind up being ashamed, I'll be ashamed of you. Those that are ashamed of me now and will not receive my words, I will be ashamed of them. This word ashamed is a stronger, a strengthened form of a feeling or shame which actually prevents a person from doing a thing. It's like that irresponsible steward in Luke 16:3. I have such a shame and a fear, I'm not going to do that. And Jesus said, if you're ashamed of my words to where you say, I'm not going to do that, I'll be ashamed of you. It's also a strong form of a word that means it's the feeling of shame arising from something that has been done. We are ashamed of Christ, and there's that great feeling, and it overcomes us. In 1 John 2:28, John writes, and now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. In other words, if we're ashamed now, we're really going to be ashamed later. In Matthew 16:27, we are reminded how that Jesus will reward every man according to his works. If we confess Him, He'll confess us. If we reject or deny Him, then that is the same unto us as well. Such a passage is Luke 12:8-9. Even Matthew 10:32-33 will bring forth the same. We ask a very sobering question. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And as we've thought about these matters today, I trust that from our study, there is nothing worth more than your soul. Don't allow the physical things of this world, the accumulation of them, they're not going to save your soul. Subscribing to the religious curiosities of the day, if they're not in accordance with God's Word, they're not going to save your soul. And as we think along these lines, that if we just turn from Him and fail to accept, and if we're ashamed of His words and will no longer abide with them, we lose our souls. Well, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Sad to say, there are many that will pay the price. But we can follow Christ. Not going to end this broadcast without the great hope. We can follow Christ through believing what He has brought forth through His Word, repenting of our sins as commanded by our Lord in Luke 13:3, confessing Him before men as He's commanded in Matthew 10:32-33, and to be baptized in Christ for the remission of our sins to be saved, as He says in Mark 16:16. It all stems from the faith that Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. When we become a Christian, we can then walk and be faithful unto death, knowing He'll give us a crown of life, Revelation 2:10. Jesus says, I'm going to present the plan of salvation. The man Christ Jesus brings forth the plan for mankind. And I trust you will receive that today. I trust that you will think about what will you give in exchange for your soul, and to understand that these things, when they cost us our souls eternally, there's no more hope. If you and I die from this life, attaining all the physical things that we can, and subscribing to religious curiosities not according to the Word of God, and being ashamed of His words and not taking a stand, imagine eternally away from God, and that shouldn't be. Not when we can come to Him and not exchange anything for our soul, but to know it's precious and God is there with us and He will truly help us. Today, let's continue to pursue the best for our souls as we study together, book, chapter, and verse. Let's enjoy this hymn together. And I'll be back in just a moment.
Help me, dear Lord, as I journey below, more of Thy wisdom.
What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's not exchange anything for how precious that our souls truly are. And let us pursue our study of truth in this matter.
Wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words.
Wonderful words of life.